Amen. Thank you, Matt and Kessie. I want to share something with you real quickly. And some of you may remember a lady that lived here a while back named Sharon Schoonover. She's moved away. She's having all kinds of health issues and called me and asked me if we would pray for her. Might want to write her name down. Some of you remember she worked at the grocery store forever as a checker. You might want to write her name down and pray for her. Precious, precious lady. Sharon, if you're watching today, God bless you, sister. We're praying for you, and thank you for giving me that phone call. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning, and I've entitled this Satan Attacking Spiritual Leaders, because that's exactly what we're going to look at in Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning. And here's what I want you to do. As you take notes this morning, see if you can recognize some of Satan's tactics. See if you can recognize some of his manipulation moves as he tries to manipulate and lure Nehemiah away from the will of God. Okay, that's exactly what's going on, and he's using people to do it. He's using people that say they're good people. He's using people that have even said, we're like y'all, we believe like y'all, all that kind of stuff. And so that's important to understand as we dive into Nehemiah chapter 6, okay? And so you just kind of listen close and see if you can pick out some of these things. Now, many authors talk about how the wall was rebuilt in just 52 days. And you're talking about the wall around Jerusalem, right? And so that's pretty crazy that they would be able to make that happen in just 52 days. And they attribute it to the incredible leadership of Nehemiah. No doubt that dude was an amazing leader. And so I know what they mean, but after studying the book of Nehemiah as much as I have, I think he would take issue with that statement. I think Nehemiah would humbly reply, because of the faithfulness of our God, despite all of Satan's attempts to derail us and stop this work. Because of the faithfulness of our God, we were able to complete the wall in 52 days. That's what I think Nehemiah would say. Leaders deal with a lot of pressure. If you're in any kind of leadership position, or you have been, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Leaders deal with pressure every day of their lives. But spiritual leaders, like Nehemiah, deal with nonstop spiritual pressure from Satan himself. And one thing you can know for sure about Satan, he's not a quitter. He never gives up. He will continue to come after you. And we're going to see this in chapter 6. As long as you're walking with God, and as long as you're doing the will of God. If you're doing your own thing, he doesn't care. He'll leave you alone. If you're living your own life your own way, great. You're right in the middle of what Satan wants you to be doing. But you commit to living your life for Jesus Christ, and you get serious about living the Christian life, you need to understand Satan's always going to be one step behind you. And spiritual leaders must consistently do battle with the deceiver and the destroyer. That's what the Bible calls him in 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 1 Peter 5:8. And honestly, that's why I covet people. I talked to a few of you this morning. I covet people who are prayer warriors. One of the best things that that can happen to any pastor is to pastor a church that prays for him, prays for his family, and prays for the church. Hebrews chapter 13. And so I covet people who are prayer warriors. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminded his young friend Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 in your notes. He says, first of all, I urge that entreaties. Now, what is entreaty? That you make an earnest request to God on behalf of someone else. That's what an entreaty is. Paul says, first of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead tranquil and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. Therefore, and listen to what he says, I want the men in every place to pray. Men, do you hear that? Listen to what Paul says. I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without, that doesn't necessarily mean going like this. That's what we equate it with a lot of times. It means having a pure heart. Listen to me very closely. People with pure hearts see God. People with pure hearts hear from God. Paul says, I want men in every place lifting up holy hands without wrath, which is resentful anger, without wrath and without dissension. Why? Because if Satan can discredit a Christian leader, and it scares me to death because I see it nonstop right now. I see it nonstop. So I covet your prayers. If Satan can discredit a Christian leader or instill fear in the hearts of God's people, he can defeat their work for God's kingdom. And there's nothing I love more than laying my head on the pillow at night, knowing that God's using me to advance his kingdom. That is the biggest thrill I could ever have in this life. Knowing that God's using me, I'm not just going through my day asking God to bless me, but God's using me to be a blessing to other people. And he's using me to advance his kingdom. And Satan is discrediting Christian leaders all over the place. And a lot of it, I'm going to be honest with you, is false. Because I'm diving deep into some of this, and I'm finding out that it's lies about some of these men and women. But if he can discredit a Christian leader or otherwise instill fear in God's people, he can defeat their work in God's kingdom. And Nehemiah had two enemies, three actually, that were coming after him nonstop. Satan's minions, if you will, that were doing his work. Satan's pawns that were doing his work and constantly nagging Nehemiah and the people that worked with him. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And you remember Tobiah was on the inside because he married in to the Jewish people, right? So now they've got somebody on the inside. But here's what's interesting about chapter 6. Because they failed to instill fear in the workers, they decided, let's go after the leader. Let's go after Nehemiah. And that's where we're at. Number one in your notes this morning. Satan's goal is to instill fear in the hearts of God's people so that it will destroy their faith. You can't live in fear and faith at the same time, amen? You got to choose. Am I going to live in fear? Or am I going to live in faith in the Son of God that died and took my place on the cross? Satan's goal is to instill fear in the hearts of God's people so that it will destroy their faith and then paralyze the church's ministry. And so fear is one of Satan's greatest tactics that he uses to destroy faith and paralyze people. Paralyze ministry. Listen to what Adolf Hitler once said. Mental confusion, contradiction of feelings, panic. These are our weapons. Mental confusion, contradiction of feelings, and panic. These are our weapons. And in chapter 6, we see Satan using the enemies of the Jews to do exactly that. They're using fear, mental confusion, contradiction of feelings, and panic to attempt to destroy their faith and paralyze the work of God that's taking place in Jerusalem. But since Satan's attempts to stop the people have failed, now he's going to turn his attention to their leader, Nehemiah. We live in a world where Christian leaders are being attacked by gossip on the internet and in the media nonstop. And they're being accused of unfaithfulness to God, and they're being accused of unfaithfulness to his word. And as we shall see, Satan was doing the exact same thing to Christian leaders in Nehemiah's day, falsely accusing them of being unfaithful. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, once said this: "I would rather play with lightning than speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ." I would rather play with lightning than speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling at others to their hurt of their own bodies and their own souls, because they don't know any better. They don't understand that who they're really killing is themselves by talking that way and by slandering other people. All right, let's dive into Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. This is Nehemiah speaking. "Now, when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem," you remember, those are the three enemies that are coming after him nonstop. "When it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach that remained in the wall, although at that time I had not set up the doors and the gates yet." So there's one thing left to do. They need to still repair the gates and the walls, but everything else has been done, been taken care of. "Then Sanballat and Geshem send a message to me saying, 'Come, let us meet together at Chephirim,'" about halfway, "Chephirim in the plain of Ono, but they were planning to harm me." Notice that Nehemiah knows what's going on. He knows something's not right, right? He knows they're planning to harm him. "So I sent messengers to them saying, 'Listen, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down to you. Why should I stop this work that I'm doing for God, leave it, and come down to you?'" They sent messages to me four more times in this manner. You see that manipulation? "And I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand." And that's important to understand, that open letter. We're going to talk about that in a minute. "In it was written, 'It is reported.'" Circle those three words, "it is reported." That's important. "It is reported among the nations," in other words, among everybody. And Gashmu says, circle Gashmu says, "that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. Therefore, you're rebuilding this wall, and you are to be their king according to these reports." Circle that phrase, "according to these reports." That's going to be important to us in a moment. "You have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, 'A king is now in Judah.' And now, you need to understand, Nehemiah, it will be reported to the king of Persia." In other words, you're fixing to be in big trouble when I tell the king of Persia what you're up to and what you're doing. Again, according to these reports. "So now, let us take counsel together." I mean, are you trusting this guy? "Then I sent a message to him saying, 'Such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind.' For all of them," all of the enemies, he's saying, "were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done." And then Nehemiah, what does he do? Straight to prayer. "But now, O God, strengthen me. But now, O God, strengthen my hands." Now, as you know, up to this point, again, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem opposed everything the Jews had done. But now it appears as all of a sudden out of nowhere they're wanting to meet Nehemiah halfway. They're now kind of ready to compromise. They're even maybe ready to cooperate, but Nehemiah knows better. He knows better. He knows they're planning to harm him, verse 2. And so Nehemiah refuses their request to meet, and that in and of itself runs the risk of being misunderstood. Amen? Well, geez, Nehemiah, you won't even meet with us? I thought you were like this Christian leader person. You mean you won't even come meet with us? What's up with that, Nehemiah? Bible teacher G. Campbell Morgan was once the victim of some ridiculous ridicule and gossip, accusing him of being unfaithful to the Christian faith, to which he replied, "You know what? It'll eventually blow over. Meanwhile, I will go quietly on with my work for God." Amen? And I guarantee you that's Nehemiah's approach. You know what? I'm just going to ask the Lord for strength. I'm going to let him deal with this lie, and I'm going to continue to do what he's called me to do. Point number two. Satan will even send people who appear to be willing to compromise with you and even cooperate with you if that's what it takes to gain access to you. Satan will even send people to appear to be willing to compromise with you and even cooperate with you if that's what it takes to gain access to you. Dr. Tony Evans in his commentary says this, "Nehemiah knew he couldn't submit to his enemy's request because he was doing important work." Listen to this, don't miss this. "You don't leave something greater to do something lesser. Never leave something greater, especially if you sense that God's called you to it, to do something lesser. Never leave the will of God." This is crucial. Never leave the will of God to follow someone else. Never. Never leave the will of God to follow a friend. Never leave the will of God to follow a career. Never leave the will of God to follow your parents. Never leave the will of God to follow your wife. My wife knows I will never leave the will of God to follow her. And I know the same about her, and I praise God for it. Andrea Irvin is not going to leave the will of God just to follow Chris Irvin. The priority in her life is to stay in the will of God. Never leave the will of God to follow someone else. Never. And before you follow someone else, ask yourself, is this person taking me away from God's will? And what is his or her character really like? Put another way, Nehemiah knew that it was critical that he cooperate, this is huge, with the right people for the right reasons. It's absolutely critical that we learn to cooperate with the right people for the right reasons. Nehemiah understood, you don't cooperate with everyone. You don't cooperate with everyone lest Satan use them to lure you away from God's will. Just because, listen to me, just because someone sounds spiritual, and there's a ton of them out there, just because someone sounds spiritual or claims to be a Christian does not mean they're following God. It does not mean they're living their lives for Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. A man walked in church one day, and he sat down and he said, "Pastor, I've got this ministry where I travel around all over the United States, and I share the gospel with people all over the United States, and so I'm here to see if your church will support me and give me money so I can move on down the road." And this guy was quoting scripture like there was no tomorrow. He had it down to an artwork, and it was eerie, because something in my spirit said, this is not right. But he's quoting scripture left and right. And so I'm praying, God, give me divine wisdom and discernment. I need it now. Give me divine wisdom and discernment. And while I'm praying, the guy says, And then after he goes through the big spiel, he says, listen, here's the deal. Whether you help me or not, it won't matter because my Father always takes care of all my needs. Hello. Okay, thank you for coming to our church. I'm not going to help you. The dude got up, cussed me out all the way out of the church. Just because someone sounds spiritual, even quotes the Word of God, does not mean they are truly following God. And if you cooperate with the wrong people, even though they claim to be Christians, you could end up cooperating with Satan himself. But Nehemiah wasn't about to let these people in. He was not about to let these people distract him from the work that the Lord had given him. He had spiritual discernment that comes only with walking and talking to God on a daily basis. Look back at verses 5 through 9. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations. In other words, it's reported among everybody knows about this, Chris. You better pay attention to this because everybody knows about it. It's being reported among the nations. Oh, and Gashmu says, so-and-so is saying this about you, Chris. I mean, obviously, if Gashmu says it, we better do it, right? So, Chris, it's being reported among the nations. And Gashmu says, you and the Jews are planning this, and you're planning that, and you're building this wall just because of this. And you just want to be king, according to these reports. When you hear phrases like that, you need to immediately step back and begin praying. Those are phrases of manipulation. Those are phrases of people trying to manipulate you into doing exactly what they want. According to all these reports, everybody knows about it. And Gashmu says, and it goes on to say, you have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning yourself that now you're going to be the king in Judah. And now it's reported, get ready, because here's what I'm about to do, Chris. I'm about to take this to the king of Persia, and I'm fixing to tell on you. And when he's done with you, you're going to wish you had met with me. You're going to wish you had done what I told you to do. Nehemiah says, then I sent a message to him saying, such things that you are saying have not been done, and you're inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and they will not do it. But now, O God, strengthen me. Strengthen my hand. Nehemiah knew Satan's tactics. He knew that Satan uses lies to promote fear, which later leads to worry and panic. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 8:44, when Satan lies, he is speaking his native language, for he is the liar and the father of lies. And so Nehemiah knew, you know what? Worry, listen to this very closely, is not just a bad habit. It's a tactic of the devil himself. Worry is not just a bad habit. It's a tactic of Satan himself. In fact, Louis Giglio in his book on worry says, worry is a strategy built on lies that are designed to rob you of your peace and to tear your mind to pieces. And so the enemy, Satan, approaches Nehemiah a fifth time through Sanballat. And one thing you can know for sure is that Satan is no quitter. Think about it. He's used these same tactics to try and defeat God's people now for thousands of years. But this time they approach Nehemiah with an open letter. This time they approach him with an open letter, accusing him of sedition, rebelling against the very king that granted him permission to go to Jerusalem in the first place, Artaxerxes. He had given Nehemiah the green light for the trip. He had paid for the trip. He had protected them along the way. Imagine his rage were he to find out that Nehemiah had just set him up. Imagine his rage if he found out that Nehemiah just set him up so that he could go build his own kingdom in Jerusalem. And one thing you can know about Persian kings is they did not stand by idly for sedition. They stomped it out the minute any rebellion against their authority rose its head. But there's something very interesting about this letter, and I love this because this really shows how we do things in our culture right now. Okay? Sanballat sends this open letter to Nehemiah. And all letters, because Nehemiah, as you know, is governor now, right? All letters sent to a government official had to be rolled up and sealed shut. But Sanballat wanted the accusations against Nehemiah to be known to everyone, because the goal was to injure Nehemiah's reputation and his authority with the people. And so an open letter back then would be on Facebook today. And the ultimate goal of slander, whether it's an open letter back then or Facebook today, is to divide and conquer. And whenever you hear statements like "it's been reported," "so-and-so says," or "according to what I've been reading," you are very likely dealing with gossip that has destroyed the reputations of thousands of good people. So take a step back. Take a step back before repeating some of those things that you hear. And one of the ways you know you're gossiping is if you immediately repeat what you hear without stepping back, thinking it through, and going to the Lord. One of the ways you know you're a gossip is the minute you hear something, juicy piece of information, you immediately want to run out and tell someone else. But it's critical when we hear these kinds of things that we step back and pray. And then remember this. When you're being attacked, remember this. When you're worried about what everyone thinks, you will eventually compromise. When you're worried about what everybody thinks about you, you will eventually compromise your convictions. Dr. Evans says, you have to say, "I only care what God thinks." The majority must not be allowed to rule. The majority, let me say that again. I only care about what God thinks about me. The majority must not be allowed to rule my life. God rules. Only. Nobody's going to own Chris Irvin but Jesus Christ. And he's got the right to, amen? He paid for me with his own life when he died on the cross for me and shed his blood for me so that I could be forgiven. I made up my mind a long time ago, nobody owns Chris Irvin but Jesus Christ. So Nehemiah knew exactly how to handle these false accusations because he had an intimate walk with God. So he immediately prays, "God, strengthen me," and then he goes back to work, verse 9. Point number 3. Satan loves to use gossip, open letters, Facebook, false accusations, and ridicule to cause leaders to lose their perspective by using too much of their time defending themselves. Satan loves to use gossip, open letters, false accusations, and ridicule to cause leaders to lose their perspective because they're using too much of their time trying to defend themselves. But God's leaders must learn to look to God and trust in God when false accusations, anonymous letters. I used to never even read an anonymous letter. Every now and then the secretary would hand me an anonymous letter. I'd tear it in half and throw it in the trash. When false accusations, anonymous letters, gossip, and slander come against them. And Nehemiah was able to continue the Lord's work because he trusted the Lord, listen to this, to vindicate him in due time. God vindicates in his timing. Look at Psalm 37 in your notes. The Bible says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly, just like the grass. Has anybody had withering grass right now? The guy came by to check on me yesterday and said, Pastor Chris, do you need me to mow? And I said, what do you think? Look around. I've got a guy that's been helping me with my back and mowing my yard for me lately. And so, but they will fade just like the green herb. And look at what the Bible says in verse 3. These are huge words. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and continue to do good. That's exactly what Nehemiah was doing. And then dwell in the land that you're in the land that God has you in. Don't run away. Don't get scared. Don't run away. Dwell in the land that God has you in and continue to cultivate faithfulness, being faithful to the Lord. That's exactly what Nehemiah was doing. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do this. Listen to this. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday sun. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from your anger, forsake your wrath. Do not fret. Listen to this. This is super important. Because it leads only to evil doing. Cease from your anger, forsake your wrath, and do not fret, because it leads only to evil doing. Evil doers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Can I have an amen? Amen. If that doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. Amen. Now look at, well, you don't have Philippians 4, so let me read it to you real quick. Don't worry. Listen to what the Lord says. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Who's that remind you of? Nehemiah. Tell God what you need and thank him. Don't forget to thank him for all he's done for you, the Bible says. Who's that remind you of? Nehemiah. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind, listen to this, as you live in Christ Jesus. Louis Giglio says this in his book, Winning the War on Worry. Instead of fixating on the what-ifs, let's commit right now to acknowledge that God has already provided us with the truth of what is. Amen. God doesn't deal in confusion. He doesn't leave things to chance. And he's never unsure of the final outcome. He doesn't do what if. He it is. And that is a truth on which you can build your foundation. The foundation of your life. In closing, like Nehemiah, if we take care of making sure we're walking closely in obedience to God, listen to this very carefully. If we take care of making sure we're walking closely in obedience to God, then we can trust him to take care of our reputations and our futures. Amen. One of the ways we obey God is by observing the Lord's Supper.